It couldn't be true. Ilseth continued, You told me that before running into us, you had gone to your friend's room to see if he was alive. A boy who lived in the North Tower. Asha's blood went cold. The elders had been avoiding telling her what had happened, and this was why. Before Ilseth spoke again, she knew what he was going to say. He died, Ashalia, said Ilseth softly. He had died just like the others, and you couldn't take the memory of seeing it. You went wild when I refused to help. You attacked me. He rolled up his sleeve, revealing a half-healed burn.
I felt the blast, confirmed Casperin.
I begged you to wait, but you insisted, continued Ilseth. You said you'd just keep attacking me until I did it, and that if I left it too late, if you were stuck with the memories, you'd, well, that you'd kill yourself instead. Without any shackles available, I didn't know what else to do.
He was visibly upset at the remembrance.
After that, we thought it best not to tell you until we were here. With only the three of us to watch you, we just, well, we didn't know how you might react.
Asha felt tears forming in her eyes. Her knees buckled, and only Casperin's grip kept her from collapsing to the floor. A part of her still wanted to protest, to say that she would never have asked to be a shadow, would never have done the things Ilseth was saying. Yet Davian was dead. Her friends were dead. She couldn't imagine that, either. There was an awkward silence for some time, everyone watching Asha as she struggled to keep her emotions in check. Finally, Nashrael cleared his throat.
A difficult situation to be in, Ilseth, he said quietly. And your actions under those circumstances are understandable, I suppose. Still, the girl was not of age and had not failed her trials. This is not something we can overlook entirely. We shall discuss the appropriate punishment later.
Ilseth nodded, looking chastised.
I understand.
Nashrael steepled his fingers together.
The question remains, though, how did Ashalia here survive? You've seen all three attack sites, Ilseth. There were no others left alive. Have you any idea as to what made Kaladel different?
Ilseth shook his head.
All I know is that it seems unlikely to be a mistake. Whoever, or whatever, has been carrying out these attacks has been thorough. There must be a reason.
He bit his lip.
I would recommend Ashalia stay at the toll for now, not just because we need to understand why she survived. I feel like I owe her that much.
Asha just stared at him, understanding the words but unable to process them. All she could think about was Davian, what it must have been like to find him like that.
Agreed, said Nashrael, glancing across at Asha sympathetically. Ashalia, I'll have someone show you to your new rooms. One of the elders will be along later to help you settle in. Ilseth, if you could stay a little longer... There is more we need to discuss.
Of course. Ilseth inclined his head deferentially. A few moments later, a man Asha didn't recognize was taking her by the arm and leading her from the room. She didn't resist, didn't say anything. All she felt was numb. Asha's room was far from luxurious, but it was certainly not the cramped stone cell that she had expected. The walls were carved from the same bleak stone as the hallway outside, but the floor was mostly covered by two large, plain brown rugs. The bed in the corner was small, but looked comfortable enough. A desk and chair sat neatly against the far wall. A single essence-infused bulb hung from the wall, providing a low but steady light. A smaller room to the side contained a basin and other amenities. In all, with the exception of the lack of windows, it could have passed for an elder's quarters in Kaladel.
Elder Ilanar has requested that you stay here until you are asked for, the gifted who had accompanied her said politely.
Asha just stared at him, not responding. She knew she was being rude, that none of this was this man's fault. But she didn't care anymore. After a few moments of awkward silence, the gifted ducked his head and left, closing the door behind him. The slight mechanical click of a lock followed seconds later. So she was a prisoner then. She'd had that impression, but no one had said anything specifically, and she was still too dazed, too heartbroken to ask. A mirror hung on the wall, and she grimaced as she caught a glimpse of herself in it. Jagged black lines spread out like a spiderweb from her eyes, which themselves were sunken as if she had spent many days without sleep. Her skin, never conducive to tanning at the best of times, was a sickly, pallid hue, as if the color, the life, had been leached out of it. She looked away. No point dwelling on what could not be changed. Even being a shadow seemed meaningless now. She moved over to inspect the desk, surprised to find it well-stocked with paper and writing equipment. The pencils here were not made for it, but she would be able to pass the time sketching if she so chose, something she'd often enjoyed back at school. For some reason, the thought reassured her. At the very least, she would not lose her mind to boredom in here. There was a decay clock, too, the essence within it indicating late afternoon. She couldn't replenish it once it was depleted, of course. She needed one of the gifted to do that for her. But if it was anything like Elder Olin's decay clock back at the school... Suddenly, she couldn't finish the thought. The wall in her mind that had been holding her emotions in check finally crumbling. Elder Olin was dead. They were dead. Gone. All of them. She would never see them again. She collapsed on the bed and wept into the pillow. She screamed in pain, in anger, until her throat hurt. Still, the ache in her chest was too great, had nowhere to go. Sometime after, exhausted, she slept. She wasn't sure how long had passed before a soft knock came at the door. She sat up warily, fully awake, hurriedly wiping her tear-streaked face as the door opened a second later. She scowled as Ilseth Tenvar walked in. "What do you want?" she snapped. The elder held up his hands. "I have come to apologize." Asha blinked. There was silence for a few moments. Then she gestured tiredly, her fury draining away to be replaced by a despondent numbness. "Come in." Ilseth walked in, looking awkward. He stood in the middle of the room for a few moments, staring at the ground, then cleared his throat. "I really am sorry," he said eventually, regret thick in his voice. "I know you don't remember, but it was madness at morning. Everyone was terrified, shocked, not thinking straight. I'm not trying to justify what I did," he added, "but at the time I felt like I had no choice." He indicated his burned arm apologetically. Asha said nothing for a time. A part of her was furious beyond belief at the elder, didn't want to believe a word he said. But then she couldn't imagine what her reaction would have been, seeing Weir, Davian. "Why did you wait until we were in front of the council to tell me about—" A sudden spurt of emotion choked her words and she looked away. Ilseth moved forward, laying his hand on her shoulder. "It wasn't an easy decision," he said softly. "But if I had told you on the road, what would you have done?" Asha paused, considering. "I would have wanted to go back," she admitted. Ilseth nodded. "I think you would have tried to go back, or worse. The three of us by ourselves weren't equipped to deal with that. And as you can imagine, the council needed to hear my report as soon as possible. We couldn't afford any delays." He rubbed his forehead. "What happened to you was not fair, Ashalia, and I don't expect your forgiveness. But please, just know how sorry I am." Asha sighed. She was still angry, still hurting, but sleep had dulled the pain and brought some clarity back to her. She hated what Ilseth had done, but it was unfair to place the blame entirely at his feet, not given the circumstances.
"I accept your apology," she said stiffly.
Ilseth gave her an appreciative smile.
"Thank you. And I want to help."
Asher crossed her arms.
"You said that there was a reason I was left alive, that I might be a clue in what's been happening. Anything I can do?"
"Of course," Ilseth nodded.
"I'm sure the Council will be seeking your cooperation soon. Until then, though, the smart course of action is to stay here in the toll. Blend in. Keep your head down. The last thing we want is to draw attention."
Asher frowned.
"There's nothing I can do now? Straight away?"
Ilseth shook his head.
"I know it must be hard, but being patient is the best way you can contribute at the moment. Don't worry, though. You'll get your opportunity."
Asher sighed. She didn't like the answer, but for now at least, there didn't seem to be any alternative.
"Elder Eilinar said there were other schools that were attacked?"
she asked eventually.
Ilseth nodded. "Aris and Dasari, the same as Kaladil, but no survivors."
Asher swallowed. The thought that someone out there was strong enough to attack, to obliterate, entire schools was frightening, to say the least.
"Do you know if it's hunters, or is it someone else?"
"I have no idea. I wish I did," said the Elder, sincere regret in his tone. "We will find out who is responsible, though, I promise you that much. And I'll make sure that if we learn anything new, you are the first to know."
"What about administration?"
Asher frowned.
"Shouldn't they be looking into it, too? Isn't their protection of the gifted supposed to be part of the treaty?"
"Administration are conducting their own investigation,"
Ilseth made a face.
"The North Warden himself is heading it up, and our relationship with him is even worse than usual right now. They probably know more than we do. Their resources are considerable, and administrators being killed concerns them greatly, even if protecting the gifted does not. But if they do find anything, they are not likely to share it with us."
Asher bit her lip, suddenly hit by a wave of sadness as she thought of Talion. For some reason, when she'd heard about the attack, she had assumed the administrator would have been spared.
"Surely if we offered to work with them, though, I mean, I would be happy to talk to—"
"No," Ilseth shook his head. "If administration find out about you, they will assume the worst, that you're a conspirator, allowed to live because you had some role in the attack. You're not protected by the tenets anymore, Ashalia. If they get hold of you, there will be nothing stopping them from trying to extract information any way they see fit."
Asher paled.
"Surely they wouldn't—"
"They would, believe me."
Ilseth's expression was serious.
"We've gone to great lengths to protect you, to make sure they don't know there was a survivor. Your name is on administration records as a student from Kaladil, so we'll be organizing a new identity for you. You may have noticed that there was no administrator present when we spoke to the Council, not even a scrivener to record the session. As far as administration or anyone outside the Council is concerned, you will simply be another shadow who failed her trials and has come to work at the toll. If you want to stay safe, make sure you keep it that way."
Asher frowned, but gave a reluctant nod. Ilseth took a deep breath.
"Speaking of your safety, Elder Eilinar has made you my responsibility. I've organized a position for you amongst the other shadows here so that you'll blend in. Their work is mostly related to copying out the Toll's rarer texts, from what I understand. I assume you know how to read and write well enough?"
"Of course."
"Then I'll be by tomorrow morning to take you to the library."
He gestured towards the door.
"When you're not working, you will have free rein of the toll, though I think, and the Council has agreed, that it is best if you don't go into Ilin Ilon itself. If you were left alive for a reason, then whoever carried out the attack may want you for another purpose, may even have followed us and know you are here."
Asher felt a chill run through her.
"I won't go anywhere."
"Good.
Ilseth glanced at the decay clock, then stood. "Now, there are other matters to which I need to attend, but I'll return in the morning, take you to the library, introduce you, get you settled in."
"Thank you."
Ilseth shook his head. "Not at all. I can't imagine how hard this all must be to take in." He leaned over and gave her a light, reassuring squeeze on the arm. "The next few days are going to be a bit of an adjustment, so if you need anything, anything at all, please let me know. I want to do everything I can to help." He gave Asha a comforting smile and then headed out, closing the door quietly behind him. She was alone once again. Chapter 9. Asha rubbed her forehead, trying to focus on the text in front of her. The library was quiet today, for which she was grateful. She wasn't sure she could handle another gifted staring at her in thinly veiled discomfort, or another administrator treating her like so much dirt. It had only been a week since she'd arrived at the toll, and already her life felt less. Every day was the same. Repetitive, meaningless transcription work in the library, being ignored by almost everyone around her. Assurances from Ilseth that the toll's investigation was ongoing, but no answers, nor any way for her to help get them. And above all, the reality of what had happened at the school, the reality of Davian's death, settling in just a little deeper. Asha's vision blurred for a second, and she shook her head, taking a deep breath. She was always tired now. She'd had difficulty sleeping almost every night since being made a shadow, and arriving at the toll hadn't changed that. If anything, it made things worse. The need to do something, anything, to find out what had happened at Kaladel sat in the pit of her stomach, always there, but worse at nights when there was no work to distract her. And it was a need she had no idea how to fulfill. She looked up as voices approached, cutting through the relative silence of the library.
"I apologize, Administrator Gill. I just don't know where it is."
It was Raiden, one of the dozen or so other shadows who lived at the toll. He sounded frightened.
"Look harder."
Gill's tone was curt, bordering on angry. Only a few rows of shelves separated Asha from Raiden and Gill now. She could hear everything they were saying clearly.
"Perhaps if you waited until Haladin returned," Raiden said, a note of panic in his voice. "We're only in here for transcription, but he's the librarian."
"I don't have time to waste waiting on that El-Cursed bleeder," said Gil coldly. "Fates, I'm not even supposed to be in this El-Cursed situation to begin with. So find me the El-Cursed book before I lose my temper."
"But..."
Asha leapt to her feet as there was a crashing sound. She darted along the aisle to see an entire bookshelf had been toppled, with Raiden lying helplessly on top, a look of shock on his black-scarred face. The short, squat man in the blue administrator's cloak loomed above him.
"What are you doing?"
she exclaimed. The administrator didn't take his eyes off Raiden.
"Nothing that concerns you, girl. Best you stay out of it."
A flash of anger washed through Asha.
"I certainly will not,"
she said, stepping closer. Gil turned, and there was a blur of motion. The next thing Asha knew, she was on the floor, shaking her head dazedly, tasting blood. She twisted to stare up at Gil in shock, not quite believing what had just happened.
"You can't do that,"
she said, running her tongue over her split lip. Her astonishment turned quickly to anger.
"You can't just hit—"
"Of course I can. Who's going to stop me?"
Gil replied, tugging his cloak as if to prove the point. His weaselly eyes gazed at her in amusement. A wave of fury swept over Asha, and she scrambled to her feet.
"Lissa, it's okay."
Raiden was only a little older than Asha, but he spoke with the resigned, dolorous heaviness that many of the shadows she'd met had taken on, as if any life, any joy had been sucked out of him.
"It was my fault. Administrator Gil was right to chastise me."
Asha hesitated, as she still did every time someone used her new name. Then she gaped at Raiden, gesturing at the books scattered across the floor.
"He attacked you because you couldn't find the book he wanted. That's not even your job." It was my fault, Raiden insisted.
You should listen to him, girl, said Gil, not even looking in her direction. You're fairly new here, so I won't give you the beating you deserve. Next time, though.
Ash's anger flared again. She made to move towards Gil, but a hand on her shoulder restrained her. She turned to see Jin standing behind her, the unofficial leader of the shadows at the toll shaking his head in silent warning. Asha hesitated a moment, then with an effort let her taut muscles relax. Gil looked up a second later, nodding to himself when he saw she wasn't protesting.
Good. You're learning, he said cheerfully.
Then he noticed Jin, and his face paled a little.
Administrator Gil, said Jin with cold politeness.
The blue-cloaked man looked uncertain for a moment, then his face hardened.
You need to get your people into line, Jin, he snarled.
Jin looked unconcerned.
Did you do this?
He gestured to the fallen bookshelf, then at Asha.
Did you strike Lissa?
She tried to interfere.
You're overstepping.
Jin said the words softly, but there was a definite menace to them. Gil scowled.
I don't think...
Jin stepped close to the administrator, right up to his face, so that the height difference between the two was accentuated. Then he leaned down, whispering something in the other man's ear. When he'd finished, Gil had gone white as a sheet. He turned back to Raiden, looking more sick than angry now.
You'd better make sure Haladin finds me that book as soon as he returns, or there will be consequences.
His tone was unconvincing this time.
Of course, said Raiden obsequiously, bobbing his head.
Still looking shaken, Gil left without another word. Nobody moved until Gil had exited the room. As soon as he was gone, Raiden scrambled to his feet and rounded on Asha.
You're lucky you didn't make him angrier, he said furiously, brushing himself off. What were you thinking? Acting like that only puts us all in danger, you know.
He turned to Jin.
And you? I know what you said to him, and I want nothing to do with that. I'm not going to...
Enough, Raiden.
Jin held up his hand.
Lissa has only been here a few days. I did it for her sake, not yours. If he harasses you again, I won't intervene. You have my word.
He sighed.
You should get cleaned up, and then get back to work.
Raiden muttered something under his breath, but gave a brusque nod and walked away. Asha stared after him in astonishment. She touched her lip gingerly. It was swollen, but would heal soon enough.
I was just trying to help.
Jin gave her a rueful look.
I know. A lot of shadows are just convinced that they're not worth helping, unfortunately.
She turned to him.
Isn't there something we can do about Gil? Can't we report him?
Jin smiled, though there wasn't much amusement in the expression. He was perhaps 30, though the black lines across his face made telling his age difficult. Asha thought he would have been handsome before becoming a shadow, his curly black hair framed strong features and piercing hazel eyes.
To whom? Administration?
Asha hesitated. Administration wouldn't lift a finger to even investigate the accusations of a few shadows.
The council?
Jin shook his head.
They'd be sympathetic, of course, to an extent, but they have about as much control over the administrators as we do.
Asha gritted her teeth in frustration. This wasn't the first time she'd seen shadows being treated poorly since she'd started working here, mostly by administrators, occasionally by the gifted. It was the first time it had been anything worse than verbal abuse, though. She hadn't thought that sort of thing would be allowed to happen within the walls of the toll.
What did you say to him to make him leave? She asked eventually.
Jin hesitated, giving her a considering look.
I told him you were under the Shadraheen's protection, he said. Have you heard of him?
Asha shook her head at the unfamiliar name.
No.
Jin watched her for a long moment, then nodded to himself, gesturing for her to follow him.
There's something I want to show you. Something I think you will appreciate.
He held up a hand as he saw her questioning glance.
I can't explain here. Just trust me on this.
Asha frowned.
Very well,
she said, trying not to sound skeptical. They left the library and were soon winding their way down several unfamiliar passageways, the flow of red cloaks around them steadily decreasing as they walked further into the toll. Finally, they entered a short hallway that was entirely abandoned, with only one door at its end. Jin stopped in front of the sturdy-looking oak and, after checking that there was no one else around, produced a key. The lock clicked and the door swung open on well-oiled hinges, revealing a dimly lit staircase spiraling downward. Asha stared at it.
Where exactly are we going?
Jin glanced over his shoulder again.
It's something only a few of us shadows know about, and we'll be in trouble if we're caught going down here, so we should get inside,
he said quickly. He grimaced as he saw the uncertainty on her face.
You want to know why Gil backed off? The answer is down here.
Asha paused a second longer, then nodded. Once they were inside the stairwell and the door was locked again behind them, Jin visibly relaxed.
The lower level has been sealed off, all but abandoned since the war began, he explained as they started downward. With so many fewer gifted around, the council decided the upkeep was impractical, not to mention unnecessary. So why are we down here? Asked Asha. Because this is where the Shadraheen is.
Jin smiled at her dubious expression.
Sorry to be so mysterious, but it's easier if I just show you.
Asha shivered as Jin used his key again, and they emerged from the first landing of the stairwell. The tunnels on this level were still lit with lines of essence, but the illumination was dimmer, colder. Closed doors lined the way ahead. There was no dust or grime. The power of the builders had evidently seen to that. But the corridors still fairly reeked of abandonment. The grim silence was broken only by the echo of their footsteps as they started forward. They walked for several minutes through a series of dimly lit tunnels. Though Jin seemed confident in his navigation of the twisting passageways, Asha knew she probably wouldn't be able to find her way back to the stairwell if she needed to. She had no reason to think Jin meant her ill, but the realization still made her uneasy. Finally, they came to a halt, the way ahead blocked by a large door. Unlike the other doors they'd passed, this one was made from smooth gray steel and looked like it would be impossibly heavy to open. Asha squinted. There was something engraved on it in elegant, flowing script. All that I wanted, I received. All that I dreamed, I achieved. All that I feared, I conquered. All that I hated, I destroyed. All that I loved, I saved. And so I lay down my head, weary with despair. For all that I needed, I lost. We call it the victor's lament, said Jin quietly, following in her gaze. Nobody knows who wrote it or why it's here, but I always thought it was appropriate. He stepped up to the shining metal and placed his hand against its surface. Nothing happened for a few moments, and then there was a sharp click. The door swung open soundlessly. Asha gazed in astonishment into the hallway beyond. The walls were darker than those in the toll, closer to black, though still displaying the effortless smoothness that typified the work of the builders. There were no lines of essence here. Rather, torches lit the passageway at regular intervals, stretching out into the distance for as far as she could see. Two burly men sitting just inside the door, both shadows, sprang to attention as it opened.
they only partially relaxed when they saw Jin.
"Who's this?"
one of them asked Jin in a suspicious tone, jerking his head towards Asha.
"We weren't expecting anyone new."
"This is Lissa. I'll vouch for her," said Jin.
The two men exchanged a glance, then the first one shrugged, stepping aside.
"She's your responsibility until the Shadraheen clears her."
"That's fine."
Jin ushered her inside, past the men and down the long passageway. Asha flinched as she heard the steel door boom shut behind her, her sense of unease growing. Wherever they were going, there was no easy way back now. Finally, the tunnel ended, opening out onto a large balcony. Asha stopped short as she emerged into the light, gaping at the scene before her. The cavern was enormous. The wide stone ledge she was standing on was at least 50 feet above the floor. She could see distant walls to her left and right, but the space stretched back further than she could make out. The smooth black expanse below was dotted with sturdy-looking structures and people moving between them. Everything was illuminated by a warm, yellow-white light, bright after the torch-lit passageway. The men and women below were all shadows, Asha realized after a moment. The cavern echoed with the sounds of their conversation, laughter, and the general hubbub of life. There was a row of simple houses off to one side, with several more evidently under construction. Fires dotted the vast floor. Despite the strangeness of it all, it was the source of the light that held her attention, a massive cylinder that lit the entire space with its gently pulsing glow. As she focused on it, she realized it seemed to be some sort of pipeline. The energy within it was rushing upward, an unending torrent of power flowing from floor to ceiling. "Beautiful, isn't it?" murmured Jin, following her gaze. She turned to him. "What is it?" She gazed around again, barely believing what she was seeing. "What is this place?" "This is the sanctuary," said Jin, a note of pride in his voice. "Somewhere shadows can come and be free to go about their lives in peace, away from those who would abuse us. Here people can live without having to be subservient, without fear of administration or the gifted, without having to be less." He gestured to the pillar of light. "As for that, from what I understand, it powers Tol Athian. The lights, the defenses, all the things the builders designed. It's also deadly to anyone who isn't a shadow, which is why the Shadraheen chose this place to make a home." Asha stared out over the bustling scene below. "It's remarkable," she said softly. Jin gave her a wide, approving smile. "Administration don't think much of it, of course. They think the Shadraheen is gathering a militia of some kind, planning to strike at them somehow. They're wrong, obviously, but people like Gil don't know that, which can be useful on occasion." He grinned, then headed for the stairs, beckoning for her to follow. "I'll make some introductions, show you around. You'll like the people down here. They're the ones who still have some spirit left in them. Or in other words, are nothing like the Raidens of this world," he added with a roll of his eyes. Asha raised an eyebrow, thinking of the conversation back in the toll. "So Raiden knows about the Shadraheen and wants nothing to do with him? With any of this?" Jin made a face, nodding. "He's not alone either. When people become shadows, a lot of them just give up, to be honest. Raiden and his ilk live miserable lives, and yet they act as if it's nothing more than they deserve, as if because they get treated like they're worthless, they really are." He gave a resigned shrug. "So rather than seeing the sanctuary as something positive, they just worry that the Shadraheen is going to stir up the administrators against us, draw attention, make things harder. And maybe that's even true. But fates, in my opinion, it's well worth it." They reached the bottom of the stairs, and Asha gazed around in astonishment. Appearances from above hadn't been deceiving. Disregarding the odd setting, there was little to distinguish the scene before her from any other small village in Andara.
Somewhere out of sight, the sound of hammering indicated that construction of some kind was underway. Not all the structures were houses. One appeared to be a school, with several young children listening attentively to a man in threadbare clothes. There was even a building that seemed to be serving as a makeshift tavern. They were closer to the torrent of essence now, and Asha craned her neck to look up at it, trying to see where it disappeared into the cavern roof. She could make out the swirling threads of energy distinctly now, crashing together and ripping apart again as they hurtled upward. She felt as though there should have been a thunderous roar emanating from the column, but it was completely silent. Her gaze traveled downward, and she frowned. Sitting what looked to be only a few feet away from the base of the cylinder was a man, cross-legged, his face hidden by a deep black hood. He was motionless as he stared into the streams of power rushing by.
"What is he doing?"
she asked, indicating the man. Jin's cheerful expression slipped a little.
"He is not one of us," he said slowly. "We don't know who he is. Sometimes he's here for days, just staring into the light. Then he'll be gone for a few days, or a week, or a month. No one ever sees him arrive, and no one sees him leave."
He frowned as he gazed at the motionless man.
"The Shadrahin calls him the Watcher. I get the impression the Shadrahin knows more about him than the rest of us, but..."
He shrugged. Asha frowned.
"I take it nobody talks to him?"
Jin shook his head.
"Nobody can get that close to the light and live. Not even shadows."
He shuffled his feet.
"Whoever, whatever he is, Lissa, I would stay clear of him."
Asha nodded, shivering slightly as she tore her gaze from the black-cloaked figure. They started walking again, and soon the unsettling sight was blocked by a row of well-made houses, all built from stone.
"Got a new one, Jin?"
Asha turned to see a man smiling genially at them. He looked slightly older than Jin, was one of the oldest shadows she'd ever encountered then, and probably amongst the first to fail his trials after the treaty was signed. He stuck out his hand.
"I'm Parth."
Asha shook Parth's hand.
"I'm Lissa," she said, only stumbling over the name a little this time.
"I had to stop Lissa from attacking an administrator with her bare hands today," Jin told Parth with a grin. "I figured she could probably handle seeing this place."
Parth grinned back as Asha blushed.
"Good for you," he said approvingly. Then he laughed. "Though it's probably for the best that Jin stopped you. You're new to being a shadow, I take it."
Asha nodded.
"It's been about a month."
Parth gave her a sympathetic smile.
"It gets easier,"
he gestured at their surroundings. "Especially when there are those who are willing to help, and somewhere to get away from it all." Asha nodded.
"I can see that," she said. "So you decided to live down here?"
Parth shook his head, sobering a little.
"Wasn't really much of a decision. See the boy in the green top, third row from the front?"
He pointed towards the group of children in the school. Asha quickly located the child, a curly-haired boy who couldn't have been older than 4. She nodded.
"That's my son, Sed."
Asha's brow furrowed as she studied Sed, along with all the other children. None of them had marks on their faces.
"Being a shadow isn't inherited?" she asked eventually.
"Our children are able to survive down here, so we think something must be passed on," conceded Parth. "Otherwise, not as far as we or anyone else can tell. That's why we're here. Administration don't want non-shadows being raised by shadows."
Asha stared at him in disbelief.
"But he's your son."
Parth gave a resigned shrug.
"If you're a shadow and someone, anyone else isn't, administration will do what they believe is in the best interests of the person who isn't," he said quietly. "Remember that, and you shouldn't be surprised by much."
He sighed, glancing over his shoulder and then turning to Jin.
"I have to go and help Fesith, but if you've got time before you leave, drop by and see Shanna.
Maybe you can stay for dinner. He clapped the other man on the back. But if not, it was good to see you again. And it was very nice to meet you, Lissa.
He nodded to them both, and then was on his way. Jin seemed to be on good terms with most of the sanctuary's occupants, and they were stopped for several other friendly conversations after that. As Asha heard more stories, she began to understand why these shadows had taken refuge underground. Many had children in the same situation as Parth. There was a woman who had been working at House Telshan and had left to escape the too close attentions of the Lord Telshan's younger son. One man had lost fingers after being attacked on the street by a drunken soldier. He'd been immediately thrown out by his employer and now could not find work anywhere. A few others were simply looking for relief from the constant hatred of those in the city above, searching for a sense of community. And yet all of them seemed happy now. Free. Asha watched them as they talked and found herself more than a little envious. Time passed. It was hard to tell exactly how much, but Asha suspected it was at least a few hours later when she and Jin found their way to Parth's house. Parth was still elsewhere, but Shanna, his wife, turned out to be a bubbly young woman who immediately insisted they stay for dinner. Soon they were seated in the kitchen, chatting amiably as they waited for Parth to arrive. Asha smiled as she leaned back, enjoying both the conversation and the coziness of the room, which had old but comfortable furniture and a fire crackling in the hearth. It felt like an eternity since she'd been able to sit down somewhere safe and warm and just enjoy other people's company. To relax.
"Lord Sabandon wasn't too happy about our being together," Shanna was saying, her back to them as she started preparing dinner. "That made it tricky for us, especially back then. He tried getting administration involved at first, but they weren't too interested at that stage. And then we..."
She turned to face them. Her eyes went wide, focusing over Asha's shoulder. The pot she'd been holding clattered to the floor, and a second later she let out an ear-piercing shriek. Asha and Jin both leapt to their feet, spinning to see what Shanna was so afraid of. A man stood in the doorway. Asha's stomach lurched as she took in the black cloak and the deep, face-concealing hood. The man she'd seen before. The Watcher. There was a scuffling sound as Shanna fled through the back entrance. Jin's face had gone deathly white, and he started to edge in the same direction, indicating Asha should as well. She started to move around the table.
"Hold."
The man's voice sent a chill down Asha's spine. It was deep, whispery, old, not quite human. Then it turned to Jin.
"Leave us. I must talk with this one."
Jin swallowed, looking for all the world as though he wanted to do as the stranger had said, but he shook his head.
"I'm not leaving Lissa alone."
"As you wish."
It happened in an instant. The figure glided forward, faster than Asha would have believed possible. Its hand flicked out, and suddenly it was holding something dark and insubstantial. Little more than a shadow, but elongated and shaped. An ethereal blade. It sliced silently across Jin's neck. Jin stared at the man in disbelief, hands frantically trying to seal up the gaping wound in his throat. Blood, red and bright, seeped out between his fingers. Then he collapsed, a bubbling gasp the only sound he could make as he died. Asha watched in mute horror, her limbs leaden as fear paralyzed her. The black-cloaked man, if it truly was a man, turned to her, ignoring the corpse at his feet.
"Do not run, Ashalia Chidris," he said, his voice raising the hairs on the back of Asha's neck.
Asha gritted her teeth and nodded, sinking back into her seat, trying not to look at the growing pool of crimson on the floor.
"What do you want with me?"
she whispered, fear making her voice catch.
"I wish to know if you are here to kill me."
Asha blinked, then forced her gaze up. She couldn't see beneath the man's hood, but she could feel his eyes on her.
"No."
She shook her head slowly, clenching her hands into fists to stop them from shaking.
"No, of course not. Why would you think that?"
"Because your presence marks the beginning. It means death is coming for all of us. It has been seen,
said the man quietly. Asher swallowed.
What? What do you mean, all of us?
For myself and my brothers. Four hunt. One hides, cognizant of what he is. A true traitor. An Asherei.
The man gazed at her.
And I watch.
Suddenly shouts echoed from outside and the hooded figure rose.
I must go.
He leaned forward.
I only ask one thing of you. When the time comes, do not let Voilier suffer.
Before Asher could respond, he was gliding out the door. Once she was certain she was alone, the crushing fear that she'd been holding at bay finally came crashing down on her. Trembling, she leaned forward and tried to steady herself against the table, lightheaded. From the corner of her eye, she could see Jin's body lying motionless, the pool of red still slowly spreading outward. She stayed that way, motionless, until the shadows found her. Chapter 10. Weir flipped one of their few remaining coins from hand to hand.
I think I have an idea about how we can make more of these, he announced, gazing down through the trees at the township below.
Davian glanced sideways at his friend.
Safely?
Weir caught the coin and turned, giving Davian an injured stare.
Of course,
he hesitated.
Relatively.
Davian sighed.
I suppose that's the best we can hope for right now. Let's have it.
Weir explained his reasoning. Davian listened intently. When his friend was finished, he sat back, considering for a few moments.
That's a terrible plan, Weir, he said eventually. It's going to take them 2 seconds to realize something's amiss.
Weir raised an eyebrow, hearing the hesitation in Davian's tone.
But...
Davian made a face.
But you're right. We're out of supplies. We need the coin.
He stood, brushing bits of dead leaves from his clothing.
Let's go and meet the locals.
Davian tried to look inconspicuous. The tavern, like much in Desriel so far, surprised him by how normal it seemed. It was well lit and cheerful, full of men who were taking their ease after a long day of farming or selling their wares. The proprietor circulated through the room continuously, laughing with regulars and trying to ingratiate himself with new customers. A young man with a flute played a merry tune in the corner, and occasionally would get the crowd clapping along to a favorite verse. Davian and Weir had been to a few Andoran taverns on their journey, and the atmosphere between those and here was almost indistinguishable. There were differences, of course. The serving girls were more modestly clad than their Andoran counterparts. Men flirted, but did not take the same liberties they might have done back home. The tables were made from white oak, an extremely hardy wood unique to northern Desriel, and a commodity the Gelshar refused to export. Then there was the plate by the doorway, above which loomed the sigil of the god Talkanar. Weir had insisted that they drop one of their few remaining coins into it. According to him, each tavern in Desriel was aligned with one of the 9 gods, and it was good form, if not law, to make an offering if you intended to partake of any of the tavern's wares. He'd apparently been right, because the barkeep had given them an approving nod as they sat down. Davian stared back at the offering plate in fascination. It was nearly overflowing with silver. In Andara, the entire thing would have vanished within minutes, gone in the hands of some enterprising thief. Here, however, despite many of the tavern's occupants looking to be of the less reputable sort, nobody was giving it a second glance.
"There's a lot of coins on that plate," he murmured to Weir. "The Gilshar torture and execute people who steal from the gods," Weir whispered. "Good to know," Davian whispered back.
They fell silent for a few moments, observing everyone in the large room.
Davian fiddled absently with the sleeve of his shirt. Its tight fit had made it uncomfortable to wear on the road, which meant that it was in a better state than most of the other clothes he'd bought after leaving Kaladel. He'd taken the time to bathe in a nearby river before coming into town, too. He needed to look at least vaguely respectable for this. Finally, Weir nodded towards a small group of men gathered around a table.
"Them," he said, keeping his voice low.
Davian followed Weir's gaze to a booth in the corner of the room. The three heavily muscled men sitting there were better dressed than most of the people in the tavern. There were empty seats around them, as if the other patrons were wary of getting too close. Each of the men held a fistful of cards and wore expressions of intense concentration.
"They look important, and much bigger than us," said Davian doubtfully.
"They look wealthy," Weir corrected.
"More likely to take it on the chin if they lose a few pieces of gold here and there."
Davian shrugged.
"If you say so."
They stood. Weir hesitated, biting a fingernail, then laid a hand on Davian's shoulder.
"Whatever happens, just stay calm, okay?"
Davian frowned, a little irritated that Weir thought he would crumble under the pressure, but nodded. They walked over to the table, which fell silent as they approached. One of the finely dressed men glanced up from his cards, giving them a disdainful look. He had jet-black hair and sported the same neatly trimmed beard as the other two.
"Can we help you?"
he asked, his expression indicating he had no desire to do any such thing. Weir gestured to one of the empty seats.
"Looks like you could use a fourth."
The man raised an eyebrow, obviously taking note of Weir's age.
"I don't know who you think you are, boy, but this is a private game, so run along."
Weir sighed, turning.
"Figures, you look to be the type who can't take a little competition."
The whisper of steel being unsheathed seemed to fill the room, and suddenly conversation in the tavern stopped, every eye turning towards them. All three of the men were standing and had their blades drawn, though none, as yet, were actually pointing at Weir.
"Perhaps I should have mentioned from the start, we're playing gachette. This game is for blooded seekers only."
The man leaned closer, smiling to reveal a row of perfectly white teeth.
"So, you ever faced an abomination, boy? Put it down so it can't get back up."
Davian used every ounce of his will to keep still, to not turn and flee. Seeker was the word they used in Desriel. In Andara, these men were known as hunters. Weir, however, barely twitched.
"I haven't," he said, "but my friend here has."
Davian tried to look neither shocked nor terrified as the men turned to him as one, inspecting him skeptically. Finally, the man who had first spoken gave a derisive laugh.
"I don't believe you. He looks like someone's carved into him rather than the other way around. He doesn't even have a blade. He couldn't kill a cockroach."
The others chuckled in agreement. Weir scowled, then reached into his bag, tossing something onto the table with a metallic clank. Davian started as he realized it was the two shackles they had taken from the hunters back in Talmiel.
"That scar is not from a cockroach," said Weir.
The man's smile faded as his gaze went from the shackles to Davian, then back again. Eventually, he gave a slight nod, pushing the torques back towards Weir and turning to Davian.
"Who taught you?"
"Brashada."
Davian regretted it as soon as it left his mouth, but it was too late. The question had caught him by surprise, and it had been the only thing he could think to say. Still, it seemed to have an effect on those around the table, and a low murmur went around the tavern as the name was repeated to others who hadn't been near enough to overhear. Everyone was still watching, Davian realized, fascinated by the exchange. He just hoped they wouldn't be spectators to his and Weir's sudden and untimely deaths.
"The Brashada?"
asked the man, more surprised than dubious now. Davian inclined his head, trying to look confident.
"I was in Talmiel with her just last week. We cut these off a couple of abominations that were stupid enough to come into town."
The man just stared at Davian for a few seconds, then nodded, gesturing to the empty chair.
"A student of Brashada the Red is welcome at our game any time," he said,
only a little reluctantly. Davian gave him a tight smile, hoping it made him look arrogant rather than relieved, and sat. Seeing that nothing else interesting was going to happen, the rest of the patrons went back to their conversations, though Davian could still see a few of them casting sidelong glances in his direction. Inwardly, he cursed Weir. His friend hadn't batted an eyelid. He'd known they were hunters, and had kept Davian in the dark for fear he wouldn't go along with the plan. He would kill him if they made it through this in one piece. The man who had been doing the talking stuck out his hand.
"I am Kalosh," he said,
all traces of surliness gone now that he had made the decision to believe them.
"This is Altesh and Goron."
The other two men nodded to him as Kalosh said their names.
"Shadat," said Davian, a common name from Desriel that he'd decided upon earlier.
"Keth,"
supplied Weir, who was still standing. Kalosh glanced up at him.
"You want to play?"
Weir shook his head as he took a seat to the side.
"Rounds are too short with five. Besides, Shadat already took all my money," he added with a grin.
Kalosh chuckled, though he and the others gave Davian an appraising look.
"Very well," he said, shuffling and starting the deal.
Davian took a deep breath, concentrating. Geshet was fairly simple. Weir had taught him the game over the past few hours. How Weir had known these men here were playing it, though, Davian had no idea.
"So you've come from Talmiel," said Kalosh, his tone conversational. "You wouldn't have heard about the trouble up north?"
Davian shook his head, and Kalosh paused, evidently excited to find someone new to tell.
"A boy in one of the villages up there found out he had the sickness a couple of weeks ago. First abomination in Desriel in 10 years.
Kalosh's lip curled.
"He went mad. Killed his entire family, half the rest of the villagers too."
Davian didn't have to fake his reaction.
"That's awful."
Then he frowned.
"Wait, how?"
The first tenet should have stopped one of the gifted from hurting anyone regardless of where they were born. Kalosh nodded solemnly, clearly having anticipated the question.
"That's what has everyone talking."
"They say he doesn't have the mark," interjected Altesh.
Kalosh shot him a look of irritation, then turned back to Davian.
"I heard that too. But unlike my idiot friend here, I don't believe every whisper in Square Market. The Gilshar are taking him to Thrindar for a public execution, making an example of him and all that. So they have it under control. They'll let us know if we need to start looking for something new."
He rubbed his hands together nervously.
"Still, word's out that he was from here. I had 3 people today ask me if we were thinking of setting up posts in Thrindar again. People are talking about another outbreak."
Davian set his face into as grim a mask as he could muster.
"Meldir send that day never comes," he said,
invoking the name of the Desrielite god of knowledge.
"I'll drink to that," replied Kalosh,
and the others muttered their agreement. Davian breathed a sigh of relief as the conversation died out, the others focusing on their cards. He mentally ran through the rules of Geshet again. Everyone started with 10 cards. Players either passed, eliminating them from the round, or lay 1, 2, or 3 cards face down on the table, called their value, and made a bet of any amount. The card value called had to be higher than any previously played. Once a bet had been made, another player could claim Gesh, becoming the accuser, indicating that they thought the cards laid down were not of the value called. If Gesh was invoked, the cards were turned face up. If the call had been honest, the accuser paid the player double their bet. If it had been a false one, though, the player not only honored their bet, but gave the same amount to the accuser. Whoever finished the round having played the highest cards, either honestly or without being caught, collected everything that had been bet during that round. Davian settled in, focusing.
It was meant to be a game of skill, where a person's ability to bluff was key. He wasn't sure how successful his own bluffing abilities would be, but as for the others, he knew they had no chance. For a split second, he almost pitied them. Kalosh slapped Davian on the back as Goran continued to glare at the overturned cards.
"Do you ever bluff, my friend?"
he asked as Goran reluctantly slid two silver pieces in Davian's direction. Davian took them and added them to his pile, which had grown large in the last hour.
"Only when I know you won't call me on it," he replied with a grin.
Kalosh roared with laughter. The drinks had been flowing, and the big man's demeanor had loosened considerably since Davian had first sat down. Davian was grateful for that. He'd been careful in his play, as Weir had advised, losing occasionally, letting the smaller bluffs go uncalled. But he had still won enough coin to last a couple of months, maybe more. And Weir had been right. While the men had not enjoyed losing, Kalosh and Altesh had taken it in stride, almost seeming amused that they were being beaten by a boy. Goran had been less amiable. To be fair, his pile had dwindled the most of the three, and now consisted of little more than a few copper pieces. Once those disappeared, the game would likely finish for the evening. To that end, Davian intended to call Gesh the very next time he saw a puff of shadows coming from Goran's mouth. Despite feeling a little more comfortable than at the beginning, he still itched to be far, far away from these men.
"Bishara must be as good a teacher as she is a seeker," Goran said with a growl as he watched his coins disappear into Davian's pile.
1-8, 3 coppers, said Altesh, laying a single card on the table. He looked across at Davian.
"Tell us more about Brashada, Shadat. Is what they say about Whisper true?"
Davian tried not to panic. There had only been gentle banter around the table thus far. The game generally required too much concentration for small talk. This was the first time he'd been asked a question that he didn't know the answer to. What was Whisper?
"I don't know.
What do they say?" he asked, trying to sound casual. He laid 2 cards face down.
2 twos. 1 silver.
It was his standard bet. Now he had the money. Small enough not to matter if he didn't win the round, large enough to be worthwhile if someone called Gesh on him. Kalosh had been right. He always played it true and folded if he couldn't. He had a guaranteed way of making money. There was no point in gambling. Kalosh snorted.
"You know the stories. Whoever holds it cannot be touched by abominations of the gods themselves. One cut from Whisper steals your very soul and makes the blade stronger. That sort of thing."
He stared at his hand for a moment.
2 sevens. 6 coppers.
Davian hesitated. Kalosh was lying about his cards, but Davian ignored it, instead thinking back to that night in Talmiel, when the young woman had rescued them. He thought about the way their captors had died.
"I don't know about stealing souls," he said quietly. "But all it takes is a nick and you're dead. Instantly. I've seen it with my own eyes."
There was an impressed silence for a few seconds. Then Goran snorted.
"Likely story," he said, shaking his head in derision. 3-8s.
Davian prepared himself.